Vox Markets is an online community of investors that runs a free mobile and desktop platform that allows you to track news and updates about any UK-listed company, offering RNS push notifications, detailed charts, pricing data, and much more. Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app. Welcome to Moving Averages, a new financial podcast from Vox Markets. This series will feature expert market analysis, interviews with top traders and commentators, and much more to bring you fresh insights into the world of finance.
So welcome to the Moving Averages podcast, Steve Burns. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Will. How are you?
Yeah, very good. In Tennessee, I've heard.
Yes, I'm broadcasting from the great state of Tennessee in the USA today.
Fantastic. So why didn't you start by telling the listeners a little bit about you and how you got into trading?
Yeah, I've always, from a young age, had a fascination with the stock market, how prices go up and how companies just grow in size and price. And I always wanted to be a part of that. And I started looking at compound return tables at about 16 years old and looking at what could happen if you grew capital year after year from a young age. I know Warren Buffett's also obsessed with that. It's a really one of the secret formulas is compounding capital for growth. So I started investing as young as I possibly could. I could buy my first stock when I was probably 19 or 20. And from there, I've grown some accounts to nice sizes. And over the years, I've learned what makes you profitable in the stock market and what causes you to not be profitable. So that's what I share with my blog readers and my book readers.
So when you were 19 and 20, you say you bought your first stock. What was that stock, and can you remember how much you put in?
It was actually mutual funds. I actually started in mutual funds. I actually was a technology mutual funds in the early 90s, and I thought, you know, that would be what I should invest in. So I started with tech mutual funds, which was a very good thing to do from the early to late 90s.
Okay, and did you read lots of books? Did you have any particular mentors that helped you, or did you just sort of take it all on your own and go from there?
Yeah, I started early on, you know, looking at the stock quotes in the newspaper and reading the business section. And then I moved into reading the Wall Street Journal and Investor's Business Daily. And then over the years, I evolved into reading every trading book I get my hands on. I think now I've read well over several hundred trading books. I might have read 300 or 400 trading books at this point.
And is it only stocks and shares that you traded? And now that the market's changed a little bit, have you ever delved into cryptocurrencies at all?
No, I actually did download Coinbase and looked at them to see, but I never bought any. I think I tweeted out when I've downloaded Coinbase, it's probably the top, and it was within weeks of the top, and I never bought or sold any because really the stock market is what I specialized in.
Okay, so how did your career progress from age 20 buying your first part of a company?
Well, I think what my first great accomplishment was by March of 2000 at 28, I'd had enough in my investment account to pay off my house, my first starter home when I was 28 years old. So I thought that was my first real taste of success with the great run up in the tech sector in the late 90s. And I just kept compounding my returns. So that was the first taste to think, you know, you can have a 30-year mortgage or you can, you know, invest in the stock market correctly.
Yeah.
It was a much better path.
And would you say that you were a little bit lucky then at that stage? Or do you
absolutely. My theory was to invest. I mean, I didn't know what I was doing. Like you said, I was lucky. I just happened to be lucky, which was so dangerous because I was deluded thinking I was just a genius because I just picked tech, thought, tech is what's going to grow and expand, and that's the sector's going to go up. So that's what I took, and it happened. And I was lucky enough to be during the biggest dot-com bubble in history. So that was my first wins. But I learned later, you know, I took my first 50% drawdown from March of 2000 to the low in early 2003. So that was my education, and really started me going deep into the position sizing and risk management and system development, because I knew that I didn't know what I thought I knew.
I was going to say that not every successful trader is all positive, positive, positive. There's definitely negative sections as well. Can you talk to me about sort of your worst moment in trading and how much money did you lose and what happened there?
Yeah, I think I've had two 50% drawdowns of different accounts. I think my biggest one when I went from 65,000 down to 35,000 was my biggest drawdown in early 2003. And I was still really young then. And that's what really taught me. And what I learned from that, though, I really hit the books hard for from 2003 on, really hard for 4 or 5 years. I read hundreds and hundreds of books and created all kinds of strategies and built up more capital. And I actually had well over 20% returns in my accounts from 2003 to 2007. After that, had very little single-digit drawdowns and compounded all that capital those years. And then I used my new systems to go to cash in early 2008, and avoided the meltdown of 2008. So that was one of my I really got more confidence in my risk management skills.
Yeah, and I guess that is so important, you know, when you are trading. But have you always traded in just U.S. or have you ever traded different exchanges as well?
No, I've always focused in the S&P 500, the NASDAQ 100, and then individual growth stocks like the Can Slim of William J. O'Neill, his formula for finding the best growth stocks. You know, the older I get, and the more I like indexes better to trade with more size, without the volatility of earnings and the volatility of individual stocks.
Yeah, and for the use of your trading analysis as well, what do you use for analysis when you are trading?
Yeah, moving averages, the RSI and the MACD for a confirmation in some of my systems.
And if you had to just take one of those, which one would it be?
Definitely moving averages.
Okay, why is that? Why do you find it the most effective for you?
Yeah, well, yeah, it's the best signals, because you know what we've learned when we evolve over the years is you have to create signals to trade with, and a moving average is actually a way to quantify a trend. So if something's going to go up and it's going to have a good trend, it's generally going to be over the 10-day moving average or the 50-day moving average. And you can use them to make your decision. Instead of having a talking head, you can have a moving average be your guru. Like a guy on Twitter, Larry Tintorelli, loves to say, let moving averages be your gurus, because they're unbiased and they show the direction of a trend.
Yeah, absolutely. And what specific trading platforms have you used? Have you always used the same one throughout your, you know, since the age of 19?
I've always used really simple things, but I mean, luckily nowadays it's so easy to get charting. I love stockcharts.com for all their variety of charting services. I like the simplicity and the clarity of their charts. I also like ETF Replay for backtesting and ETFs. You can actually backtest the moving average, how they acted historically, to really see how the trends evolved from a historical perspective.
Yeah. I mean, your Twitter says that you are the successful stock market navigation 20 plus years. Apart from luck, as you've previously said, what else would you put this down to?
I think growing humble. I think I got a lot of luck, and then I think the luck is what hooked me forever. It's hard to ever go back to, you know, other paths or businesses or real estate or jobs when you have the ability to make that kind of money. So, and really, if you can just keep your capital safe, don't let the drawdowns happen, and keep compounding it, and that's the key to everything. I mean, it's much better to say, oh, I'm gonna invest heavily in the stock market over so many years, and hopefully have my house paid off in 6 or 7, 8 years, instead of thinking you're gonna have to work on it for 30 years to get a house paid for. I mean, the taste of success is great, especially when you get your account bigger and bigger and your wins start becoming bigger and bigger. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah, and you've gone, when you say that you've been a bit humble, it's kind of true, because I guess you've gone from successful trader, now you're going more into the teaching side of trading, aren't you?
Yeah, I've always enjoyed books and reading, and I've always enjoyed and loved trading books, you know, and after I'd read so many, I thought, well, why don't I just turn on and share it? I love them so much, why would I not just write them? You know, and I really enjoyed the process and the launching and the publishing and the website, blogging, social media. I've actually enjoyed that, and especially it's good to have something else to do when you get antsy in the stock market. You get, you know, you want to overtrade or make something happen. It's really good. You can go blog, or you can go write a book instead.
So is that what you're doing at the moment? You're writing lots of different trading educational books?
Yeah, I have a publishing company now. I actually went into my wife's really good at editing, copywriting, graphic design, and web development. So she's really taken the part of the our own business and actually works on our educational business too. So, and it's been really successful. We helped a lot of people, and a lot of people are very happy that they've found it. And I try to give them a shortcut. They don't have to read, you know, hundreds of trading books, and you know, they can just get the shortened version.
Mm-hmm. And do you predominantly target new traders?
Yeah. I think the best thing a new trader can do coming into the stock market is to avoid the risk of ruin, avoid the big drawdowns. You know, don't go and risk your money on penny stocks or options you don't understand. You know, the most important thing is just to learn. You can save so much money just learning risk management and system development first before you just start throwing money around. You don't know what you're doing. So I try to give them a shortcut.
And do you have a quick shortcut for risk management? What would you advise anybody that's listening?
Well, and this is one that people always misunderstand when I tell them, and it's like a lot of the legends, like Larry Hite and other market wizards that have managed money for 30, 40 years, say is never lose more than 1% on one trade. Which what that means is, you know, if you have $100,000, you should never lose more than $1,000 on one trade. It doesn't mean you should only trade with $1,000. It means if you're trading 10% of your capital, you're trading $10,000. You know, you should never lose more than 10% on that position, making it 1%. So that avoids the big drawdowns in most cases. You have to lose a lot in a row to really get a big drawdown. But your upside's unlimited. If you're winning, you can keep winning as big as you want it to be, but you're capping your losses. That's one of the most important lessons that anybody actively trading in the stock market or even portfolio management has to understand.
And did it take you a long time to really accept that lesson yourself?
Yeah, I think after the 2002, I really understood, you know, if I'm losing, get out. You know, don't have big losses. And I spent years quantifying, you know, where to place a stop loss, what the position size. And that's half of the secret to even portfolio management and trading actively is position sizing and stop losses. You don't want them to be too tight where they take you out too quickly and cause losses. And you don't want to trade so big that one weird event causes a huge loss, because you know, when you lose 50% of your account, you have to gain 100% to get back to even. You know, it compounds, and that is a very difficult thing to climb out of and what ruins most new traders.
Yeah, and is there any trading books, apart from obviously your own, that you would recommend to any listeners and any new traders that are maybe listening to this?
Yeah, I think some of my trend following by Michael Covell is a great one that really shows the principles of trend following as a method. And Alexander Elders come to my trading room where he really breaks down the importance of the psychology and the risk management and the method. They all have to go together to make you profitable.
That's great. And I'm going to ask you, quite a broad question, I guess, and one which might come with lots of skepticism. But what are your predictions for the market over the next couple of years? Do you think that the bull market's going to continue, or... And also, I want to know, you know, what sort of stocks that you like at the moment. But maybe let's do them one at a time. What is the predictions for the market for you in the next couple of years?
Yeah. Right now, you know, historically, we can say, not even me predicting as much, but historically, from all the way back from the beginning, you know, the S&P 500 index is the best system. You know, it is a design momentum strategy where if you invest in the S&P 500 index, then over the long term, it will go up because it brings the survivors of the stock market into the index, and as they lose, they fall out. So the S&P 500, you know, is built to always go up over long periods of time. That's one of the things buy and holders, you know, that don't understand that love to buy and hold is if you're buying the secret to it is the stock market goes up because the indexers have only the survivors. The stock market as a whole, you know, a lot of stocks don't go up, and the majority of stocks end up going to zero over long periods of time. But the S&P 500 always goes up over long periods of time.
Okay, and you think that do you think the bull market is going to continue?
Yeah, right now we're inside of a big secular bull market with the recent breakout. So I think we're in a secular bull market that will go on, and we could see very high. I mean, it would be, you know, in 5 to 10 years, actually see Dow 50,000, Dow 55,000. It looks like that's what's going to play out here with the current nature of the economy and the trends.
Okay. And then, and also what sort of stocks do you like at the moment?
Yeah, I like the ones that have the huge edges that are taking over. Amazon for me is the stock that could be the next Berkshire Hathaway, where know, Warren Buffett didn't split Berkshire Hathaway, so he held it from single digits in the, what was it, the 60s, or all the way to, you know, several hundred thousand dollars a share. I think Amazon is the one that has the capability, even worldwide, to go up, you know, to 5,000 to 10,000 in the next decade.
Yeah, and I
as
guess
it takes over retail.
Yeah, and that, you know, they're predicted that they're going to be the first trillion-dollar company as well.
Yeah, and Apple's trying to creep up there. It's a few dollars away.
Yeah, I can. So do you currently hold stocks in Amazon?
Yeah, right now, I do not hold Amazon right now. I am waiting for a pullback. I currently hold Netflix, and I'm in metals, the gold and silver ETFs right now. But I do buy on big pullbacks in those in stocks.
So you're keeping your eye very close on them all?
Yeah, I'm looking for, I mean, it's been a great run up, so I'm looking for a short term, a pull back to the lower end of this range in the short term, but long term, very bullish.
Well, it's great to have a chat with you, Steve, and thank you for calling in all the way from Nashville to talk on our Moving Averages podcast.
I appreciate you having me, because Moving Averages is my favorite topic. Well, I have a whole book about it.
I was glad that you said that, you know, when you said that that's the best technical analysis that you use, you said Moving Averages, and I didn't tell you to say that at the beginning, did I?
Nope.
Well, thank you very much, Steve, for calling in.
All right. Thank you, Will.
Cheers.
Vox Markets is an online community of investors that runs a free mobile and desktop platform that allows you to track news and updates about any UK-listed company, offering RNS push notifications, detailed charts, pricing data, and much more. Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.